Should Christians Pay Taxes? The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. This program comes to you every week at this time over this station. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination on thy sacred word today in the name of Jesus. Amen. We shall go to the 12th chapter of Mark. It's very interesting that in this Passion Week, in the week in which Jesus gave his life for you and me on the cross, just a few days before the crucifixion, Jesus was asked about taxes. So here's our text on this. Once again, we're in Mark 12, verse 13 through 17. It says, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and sincere, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it. And he says unto them, Whose is the image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they all marveled at him." Now, during this Passion Week, the confrontation between Jesus and the heads of Israel came to a head. And Jesus, rather than making an effort to avoid these confrontations, met them head on. Whatever the devil could possibly throw at Jesus, he did in his last week before the crucifixion. And the instruments of warfare the devil often uses is people. They many times become potential weapons in the hands of Satan to discourage, to defeat, and to destroy a man of God. For example, here, in a matter of a day or two, Jesus encountered just about every group of leadership in Israel. In verse 27 of the previous chapter, it tells us that there were chief priests and scribes and elders coming to Jesus questioning his authority. Then we have this passage today where we have Pharisees and Herodians trying to catch Jesus in his words. Then we have in the 18th and 19th verse of this passage, the Sadducees coming to Jesus trying to trip him up. You see, the Sadducees were people who did not believe in the resurrection. So look at all the devil threw at Jesus in that last week before his death. It seems that every group of religious people tried to trap Jesus, the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sanhedrin, and the scribes. Six group of people are represented here. But I have good news for you. Jesus was able to confront every one of these groups victoriously. I have more good news for you. Jesus promised that you, as a Christian, will not do any less than Jesus did. You too will have the victory. So in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we find our Lord talking about the terrible things that will come upon Christians in the last days. He talks about persecution. And so he says in the 11th and 12th verse of this chapter of Luke, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Praise God. So when you're confronted as a follower of the Lord, you'll be just as equipped as our Lord was 2,000 years ago when he was confronted, because you have the same Holy Spirit giving you answers as he gave answers to our Master. Now let's go back to our text, Mark 12, verse 13. Here it says, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words." What you have here, as Fred Bruner says, is a political left and a political right. You say, "Pastor Schulze, I've not come to hear about politics." Well, I understand that. You've come to hear what Jesus has to say, though, don't you? And in this text, Jesus talks about the political left and the political right. He talks about taxes. He talks about government. The Herodians were friends of the Romans. the Romans had political power over Israel. Herod and all the Herods were appointed by Rome. So on the political right of the Herodians stood the Roman militia. It's quite possible that the Herodians were accompanied by some Roman soldiers here as they came to Jesus. On the political left, you have the Pharisees, who were for nonviolence, but yet next to them stood the Zealots, who liked to carry daggers under their robes just in case you might find an isolated Roman and do him in. So we have the political right and the political left, people who actually hated each other, coming together for the purpose of catching Jesus. And they came with a question of taxation. The Herodians, of course, wanted the tax. The Pharisees hated the tax. Well, they discussed this matter together in order to put Jesus into a vice about this paying or not paying taxes. They came to Jesus to get an answer that was an either-or answer. First, they butted him up, they sweet-talked him, and then they brought this either-or question to him. They thought if they'd sweet-talk him, they would easily get an answer from him, a yes or a no. So look at the sweet-talking they did here in verse 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and sincere, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Oh, my friend, beware of people who sweet-talk you. They might just have a dagger in their back pocket. So then look at the question they have. It says, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give taxes or shall we not give taxes? Now, this time, they really thought they had Jesus. Jesus would be in trouble by answering either way. They could arrest him for either, saying yes or no. So one way, he would violate the Jewish Pharisaical principle, and on the other hand, he would violate the Roman principles. So they came to Jesus rather joyfully. They thought they had victory in their bag. I believe discussing amongst themselves how they're really going to get him this time. And I marvel, my friend, at Jesus' response, and the Pharisees and Herodians were totally unprepared for how our Lord would answer. Instead of answering them as they wanted to, as they thought he'd have to, he said, bring me a penny. A penny is also called a denarius, and it's worth a day's wage. He says, bring me a coin. On top of this coin, there was the head of Tiberius Caesar. On the other side of the coin was the image of his mother. And on the coin it said, quote, Tiberius Caesar, majestic son of the divine Augustus. Oh, you see, the Pharisees hated this coin. If Jesus could settle the issue for them once for all, to pay or not to pay tax, it'll be something. You can see that both sides on the political left and right were intensely interested in Jesus' answer, since he was the most influential person in the land of Israel. Now, this question, of course, is also our question. Should we pay tax or should we not pay tax? This money we have in our banks and pockets, is it not our money to do with as we please? Well, Jesus said, show me a coin. This tells me, of course, he didn't have one. It also tells me that the Pharisees, who hated the coin, had money in their pocket. Now, let's see what's on our coin. And here in the United States, we have so-and-so on our pennies, the head of so-and-so on our nickels and on our dimes and on our quarters. And I believe that in most countries of the world, people have the heads of state or historical figures on their pennies, dimes and nickels, or whatever currency they may have. So the question is, Jesus saying, whose image and superscription is on this coin? What Jesus did here is he gets the Pharisees and Herodians personally involved in the answer. And of course, they had no choice but to answer, Caesar's image is on our coin. Now, as to the answer, there's a Greek word in here, in his answer. You have to remember the Gospels were written in Greek. And if you really translate this Greek word, literally to the fullest meaning, it would say something like this. Just as Jesus said, "Since this is Caesar's head on this coin, therefore give back to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar." In other words, when you pay taxes, you're only giving back to Caesar what rightfully belongs to him. And this is exactly Plato's definition of justice, because Plato says, quote, "To give everyone rightfully what belongs to him, that is justice." So Caesar represents the state. And remember what the state has done for you. The state has given you roads on which to drive. The state has given you good drinking water. It's given you a waste disposal system. It's given you schools, universities, research centers, courts of law. It's given you standards for food, medicine, and commerce. It's given you military to protect you. And the list goes on and on. This is what Caesar has given you. Now you owe something to Caesar for what he's given you. Jesus said you owe something back to him. So pay for what you have received. Are you getting it? This is what Jesus taught. He says, give back to Caesar, render to Caesar, give back to Caesar, as Plato said, what rightfully belongs to him. So this teaching of Jesus should take out all the grudges that people have about the government. It should take care of all the complaints that people have of the government and all the whining about taxes. You should be glad to pay to Caesar what you owe him. If you don't want to pay it, then get off the road. I know, of course, there's some government waste with every government, but I believe that there is probably just as much waste in many of our households. If you would permit me to go through your house, is it possible, in many a case, for most of you, I would find things that you bought, you shouldn't have bought. They're just sitting around collecting dust. What a waste of money. You made foolish investments, highly questionable investments, that are not at all of the Lord's will. And then, as far as most Americans are concerned, most Americans aren't doing better than our government, which is in debt. Because most Americans, they owe money for their car, they owe money for their house, they owe money, thousands of dollars on their credit cards and all kinds of other things. So don't blame the government for being in debt when you yourself are in debt also. So with that, we shall come to the close of this message, my friend. Jesus said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. In other words, there are, in these words of our Lord, both an admonition to the dutiful payment of taxes, but there's also a limitation of how much you should give to Caesar, because don't give Caesar anything except what you owe him, and give to God what you owe God. Yes, you owe to God, all of you, as well. You owe money to God as well, and then your whole life on top of that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your help today in sorting out this whole business of to pay or not to pay taxes. Help us to live up to our stewardship, our responsibilities. Help us to be thankful for how you've blessed us in this country. And we give thee all the praise and honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Please tune in again next week to the same station. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.